I said, all right, Lord, where I'm weak, you're strong. Amen? Amen. So I'm really excited. I'm really excited. I'm not sure if it's from not sleeping or I'm just really excited, but God's good, and there's a lot of good things going on. I realized as I got close to making the announcements, a lot of times I have Sister Raina will help me with the announcements, and I'm like, oh, I never handed them to her. So I feel funny sometimes going, here, go read these now. So I'll do the announcements this morning and save her. But a few things just to bring your attention to. Year-end giving letters will be available after this week. No later than next Sunday, we'll have them in the foyer. And if you don't pick them up within a little bit, we will mail them to you. But Sister Conchetta's worked hard, and I owe her one more piece of that, and we'll get that out to you guys. So a couple other things that are going on. This week, there is a board meeting on Thursday at 7 o'clock, so I'll send you an email just to confirm some of that detail. The annual church business meeting will be Wednesday the 27th, so that'll be at 7 o'clock. It'll be on the fellowship hall side of things. I say that. No, it'll probably be on this side. But either way, it'll be on Wednesday the 27th, our annual business meeting. Beginning in February on Wednesdays, we are going to work our way through the Blessed Life series, something that Pastor Arnold did probably 4 or 5 years ago, and we actually did it on Sundays in the sanctuary. And there's been some updates to it and some other things to engage us, and I really feel that it'd be a good thing to do as we look at a new year. And it's always a time that we all say, you know what, I'm going to get my priorities right this year. And whether we talk about our health, or we talk about our walk with the Lord, we talk about our finances, all types of different things. And I think this will help to solidify some of that for us. And it's just a good thing for us to, I'll say, periodically refresh ourselves. I often talk about my intentional brainwashing and how there are just things that I know I need to hear again. I need to remind myself. I need to say afresh, you know what, am I doing what I should or want to or know I should do in all these areas? You know, in my walk with God and how I manage money and how I eat and how I exercise. I don't exercise. I'm going to work on that one, okay? But that's what happens. You know, I suddenly realize, like, okay. And every year, I'm like, I go get my physical every year, and I'm watching the numbers slowly shift, and I'm like, okay, one of these years, I'm going to do something, and okay, this will be the year I do something. But anyway, you guys are with me on that. So we're gonna enjoy that. That's going to be for about 7 weeks, and then we're going to follow that up in the spring with doing men's and women's specific things again. I know a lot of you really were blessed by that, and I really feel that that's a direction that we're going to move again, at least for part of this season. So look forward to some of those things coming up. On the more miscellaneous side of things, depending on how you've been doing these first few weeks of the year, you may have set some objectives, some resolutions, and it is the 17th, so you still have time to start again, all right? So don't give up. There's always good things going on. And I'm trusting that you're especially trying to prioritize your walk with the Lord and how you're doing with Him. And that's a part of why we usually take 3 weeks in the month of January to just seek God with an extra fervor. And we've had different types of fasts. And I'm going to continue to challenge you in these last couple of weeks to find ways that you can draw closer to God, things that you might, I'll say, put aside, whether it be food, whether it be a certain meal, maybe you skip breakfast, maybe you're going to do something that's going to help you say, you know what, I want to be reminded, and I want to remind my flesh that my flesh is temporary. You know, flesh, you're going to go away. I need to feed my spirit, man. And there's a clarity that can come as you press in to seek God. And that's what I really want to encourage you all to be looking for, to hear God and allow yourself to align with what He has for you and maybe hear it afresh or be restored or be renewed in the strength of what He's called you to do. And when you put that time aside, when you create that time, sometimes you just tell your flesh, shut up, okay? Be quiet. I want my spirit, man, to hear God. You can have a lot of things happen. So I want to help you all continue to position yourself for the clarity of hearing His voice. Amen? Okay. My little list says that nobody here has a birthday between now and next Saturday. Is that right? All right. So next year, somebody's going to have a baby that's born around now so we can celebrate a birthday or invite some more folks in so we'll have a birthday this coming week. All right. So when you're looking for someone to invite to church, say, when's your birthday? Perfect. We need you. We need you to be here the week of the whatever it'll be next year, the 18th or 19th. So, but we just enjoy calling out birthdays as they come. And I want to give some special thanks. I know Laura had sent several requests through the prayer chain for our daughter-in-law, Sarah. She had emergency gallbladder surgery this week, and had been wondering why she wasn't feeling well and was kind of associating a lot of it with, you know, her body going back to quasi-normal after having a baby, and that's what some of the aches and pains were and why she wasn't feeling well. Long story short, her gallbladder was all kinds of messed up and all kinds of things were blocked, and so she had surgery for that, and you know, you hope that you're going home the next day and this duct is blocked. And so Laura was having quite a few of you pray, and I just wanted to say thank you. She's doing very well. We're trusting that that she'll be coming home within another day or so. But, you know, for a young family to have mom, you know, all of a sudden laid up, fortunately, in God's timing of things, Sarah's mom is down there in Florida, so she's been able to take care of the kids. Michael's had to juggle back and forth to work. But things are moving forward, and I just wanted to say thank you for those of you who are praying and those of you who did know, so appreciate that. And it's really good to see our sister Lee this morning with us. Been keeping her in prayer. Know that God's been doing some things to find out what some of her challenges have been, and it's just really good to see you, Lee. We've been praying for you, and if I didn't see you, we're going to pray extra for you, but amen. Well, it's good to see you here, so... with that said, let me open us, or I shouldn't say, let me continue us in prayer, and then I'm going to move up to the pulpit for what I have, I think the Lord has for us this morning. Oh, Father God, I just say thank you. I say thank you. You are God. You're God. You're on the throne. You see the beginning from the end. Our days are in your hands, Lord, even as we exchange these mortal bodies for immortal ones, ones that won't rust, ones that won't get old, ones that won't creak and fade. And Lord, we look forward to that, knowing that when we get that body, it's because we're with you. And we have you literally lighting our future and our world. So God, we thank you for the days that you give us. We give them back to you. We ask that you redeem them and use them and multiply them like only you can. So God, our trust is in you. And I thank you for the health that you continue to bring into this body. Lord, I speak health into this body in the name of Jesus, that you bore sickness and pain. You bore all of our sorrows. You bore our sins. So Lord, we receive, even here, we receive, Lord, your healing. And I pray divine health for everyone here and their families. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to switch microphones. Hello. Hey, that worked pretty good. Do you hear me okay? Yeah? We're good? You do hear me? Am I coming through the speaker system? Yeah? Okay, good. Very good. I know Pastor Dave did quite a bit of work this past week in doing some troubleshooting and some other things as we continue to just maximize the gifts that God's given us in our sound system. And we realized a couple of things weren't there, and he spent, like I said, a full day and along with some helpers to help get things in order. So I appreciate that, and I just want to say I appreciate too the worship team. I know this week they put some extra time into just harmonizing and the efforts that go into doing that. And for those of you who understand harmonies, I kind of don't. I know how they sound, what they sound like, and that sounds good. I can't do it myself, but I just want to say my appreciation because it just sounded great. And I know it's not something you can necessarily, I'll say, do all the time because people are busy. You know, they have things going on, and it's a lot of extra work. But I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate it. So, am I hearing me breathe? This is working really well. It's funny. I don't hear my voice coming out. I hear it going in. So, as long as you guys are okay with it, we'll roll. We will roll. So, okay. I am thankful. I keep saying I'm thankful, and I really, really am. I'm excited too because I have this sense of what's going to happen and what's going on, and I know that Pastor Donna spoke to us a couple of weeks ago about, you know, the hope that's foreseen in this year, and I don't say that I'm surprised, but God's been encouraging me, and He's been bringing some things to my attention that I'm just like, you know what, God, this is good because you are good. You know, you are good. And believe it or not, I hope I'm not disappointing anybody by saying we're taking at least another week break from Luke. Did anybody come here only to hear out of the Gospel of Luke? No? Oh, Linda, I know. Linda says her Bible only opens to Luke. She keeps trying to get to another book, and it won't happen. But I just, like I said, God has put something else in my heart and in my mind, because I realize that this is my first opportunity at the beginning of this new year to speak with you. And I just really sense something different. And I don't want to say it's different as much as maybe it's a bit of clarification and some pointing of the direction of what I feel is going on and what I feel the Lord's going to do with us. And if you haven't been here before, this will be a little bit different from that perspective, but God gave me loads of scriptures as I was just unpacking this and things were moving along. And Laura at some point goes, how's it going? I'm like, it's going really good. And I didn't even get to the part that I knew I was going to do yet. You know, different things just start to come to my mind. And you're gonna hear a little bit of our past and a little bit of look back on some of what's gone on. And yet more than that, I want us to be looking to the future, because we have today and we have the future, however long that is. So our responsibility from here is to take today and to take whatever gifts God gives us as the future and continue to sow and continue to invest and continue to see it be fruitful. You're going to hear me reference that more so. But I realized as I looked at this, looked at the calendar, and this past week we celebrated, or I should say that as much of a celebration as it is, but it's a remembrance that it was 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago this past Thursday on the 14th that the Lord literally called Pastor Arnold to himself. Literally, I don't know how else to describe it other than he said, you know what, it's time for you to come here. I got your new body. We're not going to deal with this anymore, and it's time to, you know, move into his presence. And when he did that, the future of this church was forever altered. There's no denying that it was altered, but it's more altered from our perspective than it ever was from God's. Okay, God knew from the day that he called Pastor Charles and Pastor Donna to start this work that early in 2014 there would be a major shift. He knew that. Okay, he knew that. And it wasn't the first major shift that we may experience if he tarries, because he is a God that is always doing something new. He's always moving forward. And one of the things that we will all do well to, we'll all do well if we'll embrace what God has for us, embrace the changes that he brings into all the areas of our lives. Okay, we can look at our church life, but if you look at your family life and look at it over the last year or 2 years, you see the different things that you've walked through, that you've gone through, some that you're going through still. But what we do is we do not let go of who holds the future. There's only one that holds the future and knows the future. And we here in time and space literally grab onto our eternal God and say, Lord, we will walk with you through this. And then we grab each other's hand and say, come on, we're going. We know we have a great eternal glory in our future, but we're going to march on. And he has works for us to do that I'm going to talk more about. And we need not be surprised for the things that happen in our future. But it's in John 15 that Jesus said, and he was referring to the Father as the vine dresser, that he actually prunes that which is fruitful. Right? He talks about that there's that great chapter in there about being the vine. And he prunes what's fruitful so that it can bear more fruit. And pruning is hard. And with it went some fruit. Hey, but he desires fruitfulness, and he goes on in the verses that follow and says that if we abide in him, we're going to bear much fruit. He actually says, I'll read John 15:5 to you. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So there's this core truth that as we stay in the Lord, he's going to make us fruitful. And then he's going to do things. He may remove some fruitful branches to make us more fruitful. And I don't say that at all to reference Pastor Arnold's passing or any of the other folks that may have been with us at one point or another. But it's a part of this process that God continues to use in all of life. In all of life, he does these things. Yet we're in a place and we're in a position with an opportunity to say, okay, God, what are you saying in this? And how do we align ourselves to bear the fruit that you're calling us to bear? In some ways, I've often, not focused much on numbers, and especially, I'll say numbers of people at church. I don't sit here every week and necessarily count how many people are here. I have some relatively good ideas, and I'll check some things. And I'm not going to say that that's going to change per se, though it will probably change in some ways, and I'll reference that more in a little bit. But I believe that fruit bearing is true for us as individuals and as a body. And that's a parallel I'm going to draw a few times today, that there's a responsibility and a place that we have as individuals, and there's a responsibility and a place that we have corporately that allows us to really walk in what God's calling us to do. And what you can expect from New Life and what you do as a responsible person, we cannot do apart from abiding. That was the power of that scripture, right? That apart from him, we can do nothing. But as we abide, we will be fruitful. We will be fruitful. And in thinking about that and thinking about myself, I said, okay, what's fruitful in my life? And I know I can be rather critical at times, but I have to be honest and say, you know what? There's some areas of my life that haven't produced good fruit. Some haven't produced any fruit in a while. So I'm saying, okay, what needs to be pruned? What needs to be changed to make that a fruitful area and not have it be an area that's dormant? Or worse than that, if it's dead, the Lord says, I'm going to cut off the unfruitful branches, throw them in the fire. Okay? So if that needs to be, some things need to be cut out from that level, then God do it. But where I'm supposed to bear fruit, I want to bear fruit. So the change that came to us in 2014 evolved with the Lord placing me as the lead pastor. I have Pastor Dave, I have Elder Andre for support, along with Pastor Donna and Laura and Jen and Conchetta's, our church secretary, our board of directors, and many of you who have been with us for that period of time. And all of us, as we've walked through these past couple of years, said, you know what? I'm not sure what's ahead, but here's where I'm at. Here's where God's calling me to be, and I'm going to walk here. I'm going to walk with this family. And so 2014 was a year that started with a shock, obviously with Pastor passing. And then 2 months later, we're hearing from the bank saying, hello, hello, you owe us $1 million. We'd like you to give it to us on June 15th. I'm like, what? And we walked through that, and God did some amazing things, and you know, just basically said, hey, I am your provider. I'll take care. I got a better way for you. I got better everything. I got a better rate. I got a better monthly price. I got a better rate. I got shorter terms. You're going to love it. Just walk with me through this. So I just said, okay, you got the future. And I said to all you guys, all right, come on, grab my hand. I'm not sure, but you know, and you walk like this sometimes with God, you know, and sometimes he might want to take a bigger step or a stride, and you're like, I'm not sure if I'm ready to run. Can I keep going like this? But we do. We take those baby steps. Sometimes we start to run. And though there was a year there of mourning and change, it was the beginning of the metamorphosis of the next wave of what God has for us. And not at all, again, saying that anything that was there was bad. But when God changes the primary leader, things are going to change. And I appreciate, I won't mention their name. Somebody who's not here, they're here periodically. And they were here a couple weeks ago, and they were here for a week or so. And they said, I have to tell you, you have gotten so much better. And I'm like, okay, thanks. So they may have been scared or whatever, but this is where, you know, and you probably have all said that, I don't know whether you're saying I'm better, but you're walking with it. We're walking through this together. And a part of what I want to highlight today is we all walk through and start to exercise what some of the things God has in us, some of the ways that he's wired us, and we do this together. So when they said that, I took it in the way that they meant it. They were trying to be encouraging, not trying to say, you know what, I can't believe the doors are still open and the lights are still on, you know, and that people show up, you know. But the reality is, you know, there were some and some folks who identified so much with Pastor as the leader of this church that with him not as the head, they couldn't find peace here. And that's okay. And it was okay and it is okay. They so identified New Life with Pastor Charles and Pastor Donna that without them here, to them, this wasn't their church home. And yet, you know, others of you, and some of you, you know, obviously are here and are connected, because you want to be a part of what's next and a part of what God calls us to. And I see it too, that God changes things. And obviously, you know, I have a different personality. Obviously, you know, good, bad, and other. I got a different personality. But I'm made in his image. Just want to remind you, okay, in case you're ever wondering. All right, I'm made in his image. So I'm not sure what parts, you know, he's going to continue to conform me. He's going to transform the way I think. But You know, we know that God has different ones of us move for different seasons. And it's not like some of those folks then went to something that was, you know, not changed. It was going to be changed for them. But I really see it as a part of God wants to form the next level of identity. There's certain people that become the identity of the church. And so it's a good thing that God continues to do this. And obviously, in the process of that, like I said, I've never said, oh my goodness, look at how many people are here or aren't here. Because I watch God be faithful. I know that. I saw it in my own life before I got to this point. I knew I could walk with him. You know, so I know, even though I'm holding his hand and sometimes I'm not sure where we're going, it's a really good place. So that's true for you as well. And so many of you have said, you know, this is my family. I love them. They love me. We walk this road together. We abide together. And like any family, we got some parts that were, maybe not so attractive. You know, we have some things that happen now and then. They're maybe a little bit embarrassing. You're like, oh, yeah, that's my brother, you know. And then there's other times you're like, that's my brother, you know. And he did something great, and you can rejoice in them, and that's okay. You know, this is what we do, and regardless, we're not going to stop being a family. We're not going to stop glorifying God's name. I mean, one of the powerful beauties of and unique qualities of this church is that regardless of our size, we got some pretty cool diversity. You know, other churches strive for that. Oh, what do we have to do to be more diverse? You know, and I think I've mentioned it before, organizations look at that. God has always continued to call diverse people here. And I like, if we have 7 people up on the worship team, I probably got at least 4, you know, nationalities represented, or 4, you know, different groups of people that are represented in that. You know, from all parts of the globe, if we trace back their history, whether it be, you know, over into the Far East, or whether it be down into Africa, whether it be into the Caribbean, whether it be into Latin nations. You know, and that's just a cool thing of ours. And I really trust and I'm asking God would keep that to be one of our fingerprints. So you can look for that as we continue to move forward. Amen, Pastor Dave. Every tribe, every nation, every tongue. So now we reflect the communities in which we live, and we have a diverse community. So it's great to know that we're going to continue to see that. And others of you, you know, maybe weren't here a few years ago. So this is all you've known. And that's okay. I appreciate the fact that you've heard God say, you know what, this is where I belong. And this is where I'm going to belong moving forward. And we're going to walk together, as I've said. And so these past 2 years, in many ways, have been about learning to trust each other at a new level. It doesn't, you know, trust is one of these things that takes time. It just does. You know, you can't force it. You can't microwave trust. You can't just put it in the microwave, hit 30 seconds, go, okay, cool. When this is done, okay, I trust you fully. You know? Actually, at our house, if Krista put it in the microwave, and she yanks it open, we're like, don't do that. We keep giving her a hard time about opening the microwave too quickly. I don't know if it's really bad. I keep referring back to this one thing that I'd read where there was like this super, super, super sensitive equipment that was trying to hear, you know, sounds in space and whether there was life in space. And it's out there like, you know, literally like gazillions of light years listening. And they kept getting this response that they weren't sure what it was. Long story short, it took them a long time to figure it out. But there was an office building a couple of miles away. And it was the closest thing to them, but every time somebody opened the microwave without letting it turn off, they were picking that wave up in there because that's how sensitive their equipment was. So I keep thinking, like, that can't be good, you know, let that out in my house. You know, reality is there's so many, you know, microwaves, gamma waves, alpha, beta, you know, that stuff, you know, it's going on all the time. So we want to protect ourselves, but I'm pretty sure this is a tangent, all right? I don't see this anywhere in my notes. But we're building trust. That was my point, that we're building trust. And experts tell us that it takes about 2 years in an organization for trust to build to the next level or to be established. And that is where we're at. And as I start to identify that and see that and feel that and the relationships that have continued to develop, and it's not just here, it goes this way as well. Because like I said, there are new layers and there's different people and there's different things that we're working through. But we start to have this solid layer that then we can build the next pillars, the next stones of what God has for us. In his well-known and well-used business book called The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team, the author's name is Patrick Lencioni. He identifies that the base of any organization is trust. So the thing that he goes on about in a dysfunctional team is the first thing that you have to look at is there trust amongst the team members? And if there's not trust, you can't move forward. You can't move forward. So I hope that you're trusting me. I'm trusting you. I say me, but I represent the church. Yet there's a lot of us that are in that and are represented when I say that. Yet I see that. I feel it. I hear it. And I know that that's putting us in a place that we're going to see what God has for us next. So when we think about the leader and our leader, when it boils down, our leader is the vine that we abide in, right? Jesus is our leader. And fortunately, he is the same yesterday, today, forever. He doesn't change, okay? He's perfect in who he is. That doesn't mean that things don't move, that things don't progress. They are. Okay? We're a part of that. Those changes I referenced earlier, that's a part of us walking through life, okay? But the stability comes because the hand that we're holding doesn't change. Okay? So we are very, very safe and secure in that. It's Hebrews 13:8 that tells us that he's the same. Okay? He, Jesus, is the only Son of God, right? He was the only man that's lived a sinless life, the only man to not die because of his own sin, but he died voluntarily as a substitutionary sacrifice, willing, right? Remember he said, you know what, not my will, but your will be done, willing to bear the sins of the whole world for any who would believe in his name. He carries those sins and their punishment in his body so that anyone who follows and trusts in him doesn't have to bear that sin. But because his life was perfect, God raises him from the dead, right? He raises him. Death could not hold him down. And he now, as a human being, though fully God, he's now the first fruit. Right, if we use that thing, that analogy of harvesting and seeding and planting, he's now the first fruit of many that are to come. You know, God's dynamic of the way plants work and how one seed, you know, can bear, can bring forth a tree that can then bring forth who knows how many pieces of fruit and how many more seeds just in one of those apples, say, you know, then can become how many more trees. Yeah, God is a God of exponential multiplication and exponential growth. And that was one of the things that I heard God challenging me with because, you know, I don't know, maybe I was making myself feel better saying, you know what, it's not about how many people, it's, you know, we're walking with the Lord, and these are all true things. We walk with the Lord, we walk with each other. Yet I was starting to be challenged with, you know what, there's a reason why, you know, we think forward and we move forward and why God has for us to grow. He built it in. He's created that, and I'll reference that more. But as I spoke about Jesus, our leader, and who he is, that's what the gospel is, and that's the good news that's been being proclaimed now for, you know, 2 millennia. And like Paul said, I'm going to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And I'll come back to that more in a bit, but so you may see even on our website things like a tagline that says, New Life Church, where Jesus is Lord. And that's a simple statement, yet it's very deep. Because in many ways, our life individually and our life as a church body is about Jesus being Lord. It's about letting him reign, letting him rule. A word like Lord we don't use in our regular political vocabulary anymore. But to have somebody that is so supreme that what they say goes, how they say something should happen is how it happens. And we have been given the opportunity as individuals and as a church to say, Jesus, be Lord. Be Lord here. Be Lord here. And that's what walking, you know, in his lordship is about, and surrendering to that. And it's really a part of what it means and how God has chosen to have his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Because his name, as we sang today, is high above the heavens. Lord, your name, higher than all created things. So when we take that name that's been forever and we align ourselves and make it supreme in the places that he's actually given us dominion. He's given us dominion of our life and our will. He's given us dominion over things of this earth. So as we say, Jesus, be Lord here, that's going to show itself. That's going to make a difference in how you live. It's going to make a difference in how you talk. It's going to make a difference in where you go, what you do, what you think is important, what you don't think is important. And similarly, as a church body, it does the same thing. It affects what we do, where we go, what we say is important, what we put our hand to. So to say that here at New Life Church in Egg Harbor Township, Jesus is our Lord is huge. It's huge. And he is our true and perfect head. Then unfortunately, you get to the less than perfect, okay? When you look at the leadership, and whether it be any one of you and the different responsibilities that you have or myself as the lead pastor. But that leaves plenty of room for God's grace to flow. And it literally creates the opportunities to show love. Because isn't that what God did, right? God defines himself as love. And he was love within the Trinity, right? They loved each other. There was this, because love has to have an object to show its love and an ability to express love. So the Godhead is this perfection of love. Yet what God did when he created man was create another being that was going to have the capacity to understand what love is. And so for him to do that, he had to give it this ability to choose. It's crazy, okay? But he did. And in that risk, because loving is risking, in that risk, he has put us here and he's called us. Right? He's continuing to call us, but he takes the risk that some are going to say, no, I don't want you. I don't want you. But it was worth it for those of us who are going to say, yes, you know, I want you to be my God. Okay? I am yours. You are my God. So though he took that risk, he did it with understanding of what was to come and what he saw. And it was worth it. It was worth it for him. So as individuals and as a church, we're going to continue to show each other, you know, the grace and love that's needed for us to walk together. You know, when grace flows, you know, and it's helping us live out and work out our salvation. You know, there's a scripture in Philippians 2 that references, you know, working out our salvation. And that is the nuts and bolts of saying, Jesus is Lord of my life. Well, what does that look like? How does that show itself? Okay. I could never say, you know, absolutely, because this is what I see, Jesus is your Lord, any more than I can say what I don't see means that he's not your Lord. I can look at lots of fruit. We can look at fruit. We're not going to deny some of those things. But when it comes down to the real heart of the matter, only the Lord knows your heart. And that's why we don't judge to that level. We don't judge to say, you know, you are absolutely, you know, this or that. If somebody's proclaiming Jesus is Lord, I'm going to expect over time to see a certain amount of fruitfulness. If I see things that are inhibiting that, if there's weeds that are getting in the way or other things, I'm going to say, brother, sister, we might want to think about hacking this off a little bit. You know, we need to do a little trimming over here. That's one of our roles and one of my roles. And there's times that we'll even do that for each other. But we work this out, you know, with and through each other, and it just becomes evidence of what God's doing. And I just want to at least reference the fact that, and to clarify, that our salvation is not earned. It's a free gift received by our faith. And I think many of you are familiar with the scriptures in Ephesians, and I'm going to read you chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, where it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God has prepared works for us to do. So how we do that corporately and how you do that individually are these things that we work out. And so when we think about, you know, what are these things that we're working out, and how should it look, there's a bit of a, I guess in some ways it's a trick question to say, you know, what are these things that you're doing and how should you be doing it? Because in view of God's mercy, we're told in Romans, lay down your whole life. You know, it's not you're just be a living sacrifice. You're still alive, but you're not alive. You're not alive to your own choices and decisions. And that doesn't mean that you've given up your freedom, because in reality, you've exchanged what you think is best for what he knows is best, right? There's a greater freedom in that, a much greater freedom, Okay, now you are free to literally be empowered by God to do things that you, when you were making decisions on your own, okay, were limited. And we made our decisions most frequently and most often based on what I think I want or need. Anywhere we're needs driven. And we say, okay, this is what I want. This is what I get into. What we don't realize in some of those cases is that we're being needs driven, but there's an enemy who's fanning those flames and making some of those things more enticing because he knows that if he can get a hook into your soul, you're not going to want to give some of those things up. And you may not choose to, and you become hard, right? We're told that sin is deceitful and it hardens. And that's why we, you know, work that out. It's why we root out and pull out. And there's times where, you know, there needs to be deliverance. You need God's power to deliver from literally a root or a hook that the enemy has put in to your life in one way or another. And that's a part of what God calls us to do as well. So we lay down our lives as sacrifices, and we're further told by Paul in Colossians that we can do everything unto him. We can give him all things, and we can work as if we're working for him and not for men, and he'll reward us accordingly. Okay? But you can do anything in your life for him and unto him. So when you start to think about what things, you know, should I be doing? What are the works that God's called me to do individually? And a lot of people, you know, wrestle or struggle with, I want to know God's will for me. You know, I want you to know it's not a mystery. Okay? It's not a mystery. It's not like you say, Lord, I want to know your will. And he goes, and you're like, oh, what? I missed it. Can you tell me that again? And then he goes, it's not. It is not the case. Okay. For one, we know his will is that none should perish, that all should come to repentance. So the first place you start with saying, is my will lined up? Or do I want to know what God's will is for my life? The first thing I do is I repent and I turn to him. And then from there, you've now started this powerful relationship because he's going to give you his Holy Spirit. And I'll reference that more in a moment, but he will do that for you. And if you want to think about what is God's will for my life, okay, in a lot of ways, don't take this the wrong way, it doesn't matter. Because you walk with him. Okay? He can guide your path and make it straight as you commit your ways to him, right? Proverbs 3 tells us that. So at the same time, though it doesn't matter, you're like, wait a second, you know, can I mess up? Okay, sure, you could rebel. But I believe that God loves you so much, that he is going to continue to guide you as you submit, as you ask him to. Okay? Lord, don't let me make a mistake. Don't let me be lured. Okay? Some of the words that the Lord told us in his prayer was, lead me not into temptation. You know, God, don't let me be put in a place where I might be making a bad decision or be tempted to do something that's against what you have for me. The power of who he is, he still works all things together. He works things together. He works what we may look back on as a mistake, okay, and something that we learn from, and still puts you in a place that you would have never been otherwise, and uses you in a way you would have never been used otherwise, because that's who he is. And he has the ability to do that and see that as we continue to surrender to him. But one thing that's helpful, and some of you may have heard this before as you're discerning, you know, what God's will is, it's a simple acronym. And it's really in looking at your DNA, right? Your DNA. And in the physical world, right, your DNA is this complex genetic code that has so many infinite combinations that no two of these human being things that we are have ever been made alike, right? They've all had a unique fingerprint. They've all had a unique eye print. They've all had a unique characteristics because of how powerful and how complex their DNA is. And in our context here, to say your DNA will help identify, you know, the works that God has for you to walk in, I want you to think about the three letters DNA, and that it stands for desire, need, and aptitude. So where those three intersect as you abide in the vine, you've got Holy Spirit juice literally flowing through you and producing fruit in you that is the fruit that God has for you to bear. So you may, you know, ask yourself the question, you know, what is it that I want to do? You know, what are some of my desires? And I'm saying this for every stage of your life, because we have folks at all different stages of their life. You know, so for where you are today, what are some of the things I think I want to do? You know, I mean, and it might be travel. Might be something that you want to do. Okay, you know, how is God going to use that to produce some of the fruit in your life? It may be something more vocational. And you start to ask yourself, you know, what are some of the desires that I have, and where'd they come from? Why do I have that? Why do I feel that way? What are some of the things that I tend to notice need to be done? You know, what catches my attention? Okay, there's something in that that says, you know what? There's a reason why you see this as a potential opportunity. It may or may not be something that, you know, we're going to get involved with. Okay? Warning. Come tell me about it, and I'll say, wow, is that what God's calling you to do? You know? But that may be. And it may be something that's got a lot more to it. It may be visionary. Some of you do dream. You think big pictures, and you can see things way down the road. Okay? Part of our role as elders is to say, hey, all right, here's some of what we're thinking and seeing and hearing. Lord, help us to walk in it. But you have desires. You have things that you see. And if somebody ever said to you, you know, what's the one thing that you would like to see change in your church, you can say, wait, maybe that's something I can be a part of helping change. Okay? And I hope you understand, I'm not saying that to get myself, you know, off the hook here and go, hey, you thought of it, you do it, dude. You know, it's on you. But there's a reason why we see things from a different perspective, but it's a part of how we can come together and help. And you know, I'll talk more about what I believe our role is, you know, as your church family in doing that. So there are things that you may see that you desire to do. And related to that are what needs to be done. Like, again, you see things and you can identify some needs that others may not, or you may join in with what somebody else has said. You know what? I got a real heart for that. I love to go, you know, visit people who are shut in. Or I want to visit people who I know are stuck, or I want to, you know, do this. There's others here that like to do that, and we put you together and say, hey, you know what? Go. Run. You know, bear fruit. This is part of what God has put you here to do. And the A stood for aptitude. So you can say, what things do I gravitate to because I seem to be good at them? Somehow I just seem to be good at this. You know, people tell me I'm good at this. It's okay to admit that you have some things that you do well. It could be anything from lead a business to just make somebody feel good. You have a good listening ear. You seem to have an aptitude for that. That's a gift that you can then give back to the Lord and allow him to bear fruit. So these are great things to ask God during these 21 days as you seek him closer and you're asking for clarity about your future and how can I be a more fruitful person, more fruitful Christian, a more fruitful member of my church family. And for some folks, it may be the first time that you're really thinking through these things, and that's okay. You know, we continually bring ourselves before God and allow us to make whatever changes he needs to for whatever stage of our life that we're at. We have these different phases and these different stages. So God is always, you know, moving us forward. So I mentioned before, and I want us to consider these next few questions at both a personal level and a corporate church level. You know, so personally, when we start to think about, all right, where am I now? All right, it's a new year. 2016 has got here. You know, 50 years ago, did I ever think 2016 would get here? It sounded so far in the future. You know, yet here it is. And the Lord has allowed time to continue. But we're here. And, you know, what are you putting your time and energy and resources into? You know, are you doing what you were made to do? You know, do you feel that? Do you see fruit in your life? Are you feeling Jesus' life in you? And we can all say yes and no to that at different degrees. But this is a great time of year to think about some of these different areas of our life and say, okay, am I bearing the fruit? You know, do I know that this is what God has put me here for? You know, so even as a church body, we can ask those corporately, and we will, you know, in a moment. But it's important to know where you're going, right? A lot of things are written about goal setting and, you know, putting pictures of what you want on your refrigerator and setting your mind on the things of where you want to go and what you want to do. But to do that prayerfully before God and ask him, Lord, what are the pictures I should be putting in front of me? What should I have? You know, where am I going? When you're driving, right, you're going to go where you're looking, right? You look down at your phone, guess where you're going? Next thing you know, you hear the rumble strip and you're panicking. Okay? One of the things they tell us is that if your car starts to drift, okay, and you catch it, you don't want to like look at the, you know, the median there. Okay, look further ahead. Look down the road. You'll automatically pull yourself straight and you'll start moving in that direction. okay, rather than overcompensating. So you look straight ahead. And isn't that what the scriptures tell us? Right? Some of you can hear that even as soon as you say fixing and setting. These are great scriptural words that are all through the New Testament especially. You know, that we can set our eyes on Jesus, right? He's the founder and the perfecter, Hebrews 12 tells us, or author and finisher, depending on your version. And Paul said it in Philippians. He said, "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I strain forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." All right, so this is where we fix our eyes as we work out these different things. So you have a vocation that you're possibly moving in, or you might be retired. Okay, you have time. You have these things that you have still to invest. If God's given you another day, you have things to invest. And so as a church, we start to ask some of the same questions. You know, what are we into? You know, where are we going? What's our time, energy, and resources being put to? What are we made to do? You know, what are we here for? And, you know, to answer that question, you know, sometimes we take a step back and say, well, what's the church for anyway? You know, what is it for? There's lots of folks who get frustrated with the church, and they say, you know what? It's just me and God. I'm going to stay home. You know, we never get in a fight, me and God. You know, those people at church, they bug me. Right? They get on my nerves. Right? They think different. You know, this one guy will not shut up about, you know, the day Jesus is coming. He thinks it's this day. These are the opportunities to work out love. We're called to do it. We're called to, we're not called to be solo. He called us into a body because he's calling out a bride. It's a single bride made up of every tribe, nation, tongue. Okay? It creates the place where we learn how to walk and know God. Okay? You by yourself, just watching whatever your favorite TV preacher is or listening to him, and I know folks like this, and you know they've gotten hurt, and they're hurt by the church. It means they're hurt by people in the church. Sometimes they may have been hurt by church leadership, okay? But the reality is we are called to be together, you know? Don't forsake assembling yourselves. Don't forsake, okay? Especially as you see the day approaching. But encourage one another towards love and good deeds, right? That's Hebrews 10. So we too, as a church, fix our eyes on Jesus and look at what purpose does he have for us? You know, what are we here for? And we can't help, and there's lots of places we could look, but one of the primary places that we look is what's been called the Great Commission, right? Jesus, before he left, said, you know what? I don't know if he said, you know what, but here's actually what he said. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I am with you to the end of the age." That's one of the last things he said. So making disciples is definitely a part of the business that we're all called to do. It's a part of why we're here. I mentioned earlier, we want to know what God's will is. We know that a big part of his will, none should perish. Okay? It's why he's being patient. So this making disciples is a part of fulfilling that part of God's will. So as we do that, and we do it together, we have this powerful symbiotic relationship. You're doing it in your life, and then we come together, and there's an exponential ability for it to be all the more fruitful. And we work off each other and play off each other's strengths and weaknesses and complement each other. And there's an interconnectedness that in many ways is like a good marriage, that both people walking and honoring God can now together do things that they couldn't have done individually, because his spirit is flowing through that, through those branches and through that vine. So in making and being disciples, I just want to give you three words, and you're going to hear more of these in the future. Three words I think can help us to encapsulate and capture what, as individuals and as a church, that we have both responsibility and opportunity to exercise. All three begin with L, not because I'm that good, it just worked out that way. But the first we've mentioned already, and it's love. Right? We are called to love God and love each other. Right? You know, you think about the person that came to Jesus and said, you know what, what's the greatest commandment? You know, love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He's like, you know what? Dude, do that and you're good. That's where it starts. It starts with loving each other. And Jesus actually said, others will know that you're a follower of me by the love you have for each other. Right? That's John 13. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 told us that you can have all the supernatural sparks and flashes and prophecies and tongues and interpretations, but if you don't have love, you're just making a bunch of noise. Matter of fact, it's not just noise. It's noise that hurts my ears. It's a clanging noise. That doesn't mean we throw out those things and we just agape each other, you know, forever and never, you know, seek God's power, okay? But in its right place. The Apostle John, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this, we know he abides in us by the Spirit whom he's given us. We believe in his name and we love each other. We love each other. So as a church, we say, how should that look? How do you love people in the church? Okay? You walk with them through things. You care with them as best you can. Now I say, as a church, we are the church. I'm not the church. We are the church. So when something happens, different ones of you say, hey, I can do that. I can help with that. I can bring that meal. I'll make that phone call. I'll do that visit. That's loving each other. It's just one part of it. And individually, you know, when you're saying, oh, how do I love God and love each other? It starts to become the same thing. So your ability and your working out, showing love is very, very, you know, there's a lot of integrity to it. It's the same, okay? You shouldn't be one way at home and then a different person when you walk in here, right? You know, being a person that's loving at home and caring for and showing concern and respect and these things that you would show a stranger, of course you want them to start in your house. Now, we all know in our own house, sometimes stuff gets to a place that we'd be ashamed of. You know, we'd be ashamed if one of our brothers or sisters walked in and heard me say that or saw me do that or heard me do it with that type of tone or heard me at that level. I never heard you do that in church. You know, this is our reality. Okay? That doesn't mean it's okay. It doesn't mean we should just pretend it goes away. Hey, we identify it, we confess it, and we have to move forward. Okay? We have to move forward. We don't let the enemy say, this is who you are, you're stuck, you're going to be this way for. You know what? No. Hey, if there's a new day, there's new mercy. Okay? And in that new mercy, there's hope. And in that hope, we move forward. We move forward. So you can absolutely expect that seeing grace flow amongst each other, where we bear one another's burdens, where we put up sometimes with, you know, things not being perfect, somebody making a mistake, not understanding, or, you know, sometimes even offending. And yes, sometimes an intentional sin where somebody, you know, I did this against them. Once it's identified, we can repent and we can restore, and then we can move forward again. Okay? These are the things that we commit to. It's a part of why as a marriage, you know, the Lord said, till death do you part, better or worse, richer or poor. Things are going to happen. So even as a church body, stuff's going to happen. Some we foresaw, some we planned, some we didn't. Okay, but we're committed to each other and the Lord, and we keep moving forward. We love each other. The second L is learn. So we're going to love each other, and we're going to learn together. Okay, as a church, one of the best things that we can do and we invite you to do is to hear God's word. And we are going to continue to do that. The core of teaching here is going to continue to be teaching and preaching from God's word. Right? When this door is open, when there's somebody in the pulpit here on the other side, on wherever they're standing, okay, the scriptures are going to be our boundaries. So even when we talk about loving people, that doesn't mean everything goes. Okay? We're not going to redefine the way culture is trying to get us to do. You know, redefine what God has already said. And what God has said is good, and what God has said is right. Okay. There'll be times that we need to, you know, work within and understand what we do, but we can come and learn together. And also, you need to learn on your own. Right? I hope you're not trying to get by with, now we know that this is God's word, it's going to be preached, you know, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So you come here and you get to hear some of God's word. That becomes bread for your soul. Okay? But unless you're doing a fast, you shouldn't be. Okay? You shouldn't be waiting until Wednesday or Sunday to eat again. Right? And I'm all for, and I appreciate some of the good Bible teachers that are out there. Okay? But you, God's given you the Holy Spirit. Right? If you call yourself a believer, he's given you the Holy Spirit. So that means you and God can feed. He wants to feed your soul. He wants to answer your question. You don't have to necessarily run to, you know, another believer, the pastor, anyone else. Okay? You may do that for counsel. You may do that for, hey, here's what I think God's saying. Does this sound right to you? Can you help me discern God's voice in this? You know, and how he's leading? Okay? But to feed yourself, to get to a place where you have a hunger that only you and God can satisfy. All right? Because I can tell you that you have that hunger. Hey, but the voices and the noise of the world tries to cloud it out. So that's where people then start to try to satisfy that hunger with other things. And those things are usually fleshly to one degree or another, and they're pulling us away, right? Because the carnal man doesn't have his mind on the things of the Spirit. So there is a place for being what we're going to call spiritually disciplined and learning how to feed yourself from God's word. And there's some times where it's a joy and you just can't wait to rip your Bible open and get alone with God. And there's other times you're going to say, all right, this is the time I said I'm going to meet with God. And I'm pretty sure it doesn't have to be 5:30 in the morning. I think, you know, God's awake all the time, right? So you want to give him some of your best time. Now, for some folks, somehow they think it's holier between like 4 and 6 a.m. And maybe it is. I don't know. I just know... If I fall asleep between 4 and 6 on God, I didn't get what I was hoping for. But that's a whole other issue. But it might, you know what? There is definitely something to be said about first. There is. That's why part of why we take this part of the year and say, you know what, God, this is the beginning of a new year. We take our finances. We say, God, here's the first fruits of it. We take our resources. We take our time. Say, you know what, God, help me realign what's right. So, but I want to encourage you to be feeding yourselves and learning how to meet with the Lord. And that's something else that we can do some more teaching on in the days ahead. Because we've been warned, and part of why our commitment here is as strong as it is we've been warned that in the end days, people are not going to put up with sound doctrine. They're not going to put up with it, right? They're going to look to go where their itching ears are getting satisfied, okay? Because they're getting tantalized and teased and pulled, right? So, it's not going to happen here. By God's grace and his power, it won't happen here. Right? Because we know that he has given us what we need and what we need to do and how we can learn to follow his leading. As I said, he gave you the Holy Spirit. That was his promise. All right? It was in Jeremiah that he promised that he would allow each of us to know what's right. And that continues to this day. So my last L word, and let me move things together here, is launch. Okay? Individually, you at some point need to get out of the boat. You got to move forward. Say, you know what? I got to see what God. I got to find out if this is it. You know, am I going to go get involved in this? Am I going to call here? Am I going to make write that email to do what God has for you to do? You know, there's got to be something you've got to try to experience or move forward in what God might have for you. And here at our church, in a church setting, we want to launch. We want to help move you into anything and everything God might have for you, knowing that some of it may stay under this umbrella, some of it might be elsewhere. You might eventually be called. Your job may move you, or God may call you. So, you know, I want you to go here and do this. Okay? That's a beautiful thing to do. It's a beautiful thing as a church to be able to launch and release people into the things that they have. So as we grow individually, stuff's going to well up. There's going to be stuff that you want to do. That's a sign that you got life in you. Right? So these are the things that we're going to find avenues, find things that we can do well. And there's a lot of stuff that we do well. There's been some exciting things. I mean, if I look back on last year, I'm like, oh, that was cool. That worked out good. God, thank you. You know, we had, I forget the number, 50 some odd people, you know, just help with Thanksgiving stuff. You know, a lot of good things go on. So I want you to be encouraged that this is a place that, you know, if anything, we want to foster gifts and allow you to move and make room for those things that God's called you to do. So in some ways, these three words, love, learn, and launch, could capture a lot. But in them, we all have a mutual responsibility and a mutual accountability. And though we can fit many things under them, like I said, we're going to stay within the scriptural boundaries and guidelines, and that's going to continue to be one of our pillars. So as I do close, I want to help you by just painting a picture of what is going to happen in the next 3 to 5 years. He's a fruitful God, right? He has given us, for one, a facility that has more capacity. That's a nice way of saying there might be an empty seat next to you, okay? But that's okay. It really, really is okay. Like I said, God's meeting our needs. It's not a question of, you know what, I got the lights on this week, but I'm not sure about next week. You know, get here early, bring a candle. And I just, that's not it, okay? But God is a fruitful God, right? So I've been challenged myself to say, you know what, within the next 3, 4, 5 years at the most, we should see twice as many people here. Not because, you know, the ministry has become, okay, but because we're just walking with God and being fruitful. Fruitfulness is going to multiply, all right? So let's all start to think about what's our part in that. Okay, what does it look like? How am I loving? How am I learning? How am I moving in some of these gifts? But it's going to happen. It's who God is. And I don't know if I was cutting myself a little slack before saying, oh, you know what, the exact numbers don't matter. God's meeting our needs. Those are true things. But God has said, you know what? I'm also a fruitful God, and I am willing that none should perish. And if I got perishing people around me, and we all do, we have a call. Right? We know what his will is. We're going to move in that. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. So his will is always about his kingdom. It's always about his kingdom. And he's given us, like I said, some great gifts, and we're going to use them. There's some gifts that we have physically, you know, in our, like I said, in our facility, and there's gifts that are in you. And there's gifts that are in the people that are going to come to us. You know, some of them can harmonize, you know. Some of them will do other things that will continue to move us. So I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray a blessing on you, and trust. So Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you. You see the beginning from the end. We are holding your hand. We're holding each other's hand. And God, we want to walk in all that you have for us. We want to walk in the good works you have prepared for us to do. Lord, we know that it starts. It starts in our own hearts, and it overflows to people who don't know you, because you're not willing that any are going to perish. So Lord, help us as we walk in this call. God, we do it joyfully. We look forward to all that you'll teach us along the way, knowing that you love us. It's not a secret. You've declared it. Really, the heavens have declared your glory, and your Son has made known and manifest to us the love of the Father. So God, as we prepare to go this day, Lord, I ask that we would all surrender afresh, that we have a will to continually give back over to you and say, your will be done, not my will. So Lord, as a lead representative of this church, I take this church and lay it before you and say, your will be done, not our will. And as individuals, we cry out to you and say, your will be done. Let's say that, church. Father God, your will be done. Fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Empower me, God, to walk in all you have called me to walk in. Praise you, Lord. So now with the words that Moses prayed over the people, I bless you as you go. And I say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And all God's people said, amen, amen. If you need prayer, please come forward. Allow us to pray with you. If you need to surrender.